In just a moment, you'll be viewing a conversation that I've had with Goya and Andrew, but I've asked Andrew if I could kind of have this at the very beginning, because in the course of that video, I got my dates wrong. In fact, you know, here we are recording this. This is, of course, pre-recorded, and the Sunday coming up happens to be Palm Sunday, but when you'll be listening to this, it will be the Easter Sunday, you know, that will be coming up. So in the course of the video, I made a couple of mistakes, and I had forgotten when you'd be viewing this. So this is a correction. In the course, when we talk about Philippians in just a moment, toward the end of that recording, I will have mentioned that this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday, but of course it isn't. And I was also behind on the number of recordings, the online services, so that needs to be corrected. So anyway, with those two corrections, I trust and pray that you'll enjoy the conversation that I'll have with my brothers Andrew and Jose, and that you'll have your Bibles ready to join us in this discussion. Good evening, class, and welcome back to my upper room. I appreciate you being here. For those of you who weren't here last week, who didn't have the chance to view this, normally I've been having a series on how to read the Bible, but I thought it would be different and appropriate to kind of stop that for a few Wednesdays and just do other things. For example, I've asked Andrew and Jose to join me in this kind of an open discussion. Nothing scripted, so we'll see how the conversation goes. Go ahead and take a moment and find your Bible and open it up to the book of Philippians, because we're going to be working from Philippians as we have this this discussion. So without anything else to really add to this opening, to these opening remarks, I'll turn to my Edmundo, Jose, and if you'll, brother, lead us in our prayer. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to get together through using technology. We know it doesn't feel the same, but we thank you that we live in a time, in an age where we can connect even though we are separated physically. We thank you for all the blessings that we have, not only through technology, but we thank you for our medical our doctors and our hospitals, and we thank you for all the good things that through science we have been able to achieve. We thank you because we know past generations have to suffer more than we do, and we thank you again for providing for all the needs. And we thank you also for these difficult times, because a lot of good things have happened. We thank you because many people are looking into the scriptures, because more people are praying to you, and we thank you because the gospel is not in chains, and we thank you because you are everywhere. And we thank you again for this opportunity that I have to get together with my brothers here to share and to have a moment of discussion about what you have to say to us through your word. And thank you again for Jesus, in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Gracias, hermano. Last week, I asked the question, of all the passages in Philippians, what is your favorite? And I know that Goyo had the opportunity to share, but I think you did. Wasn't it you, Goyo, or was
it Andrew? Did, but I shared.
You shared. Thank you, Andrew. You shared. Okay, then I'll turn my attention here to Jose. By the way, there are five people on this video. You've got Witt and Jose and Goyo and Michael and Andrew.
Okay. Yes. That's anyway, right. And people might be a little confused with that. What are you going to say?
Whenever Goyo and I play ping pong, we actually play doubles.
You know, we do.
Okay, never mind. So anyway, let me share very quickly my favorite, even though it's really one of my two favorites in Philippians, and I can do this in about 30 seconds, Jose, and then I'll turn it to you. Everyone knows, if they listen many, you know, to my sermons, that that Philippians 4, 6 and 7 are my favorite texts, because they help me so much have no anxiety, but lift it up to the Lord. But I also really enjoy Philippians 3, 13 and 14, where Paul writes and he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. And I find that very helpful because I can't go back. I can't go back and undo my regrets. And I have my share, trust me. I can't go back and undo the words that I've said that I wished I wouldn't have said. I can't repeat the successes that I had yesterday. I can only take this moment and press forward. So I really appreciate Paul when he says, whether it's good or bad, you know, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, this athletic metaphor of the runner who hits the wire, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So I just wanted to share that with you. We only have today. We have this breath. We don't have anything else. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have yesterday. And that's the way that God created us. And that was intentional. So I trust that you can take that text as well, maybe discuss it, think about it, and perhaps even it might well help your daily walk. So Jose, why don't you share your favorite text?
Well, actually, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11 is my favorite passage in the entire Bible. So not just in Philippians, but in the entire Bible. And even though it's a simple concept of just not looking into your own interest, but also into the interest of others, it's the hardest thing to do. It is the hardest thing to do, just to forget about yourself and put other people before you. And I believe this is the key for a perfect church, for a perfect family, for a perfect world. If we learn to think about others before ourselves, the world will be a completely different thing. The church will be a completely different thing. Marriages will not be so broken because everybody is looking for their own interest. And so Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, in your relationships, in all our relationships, at home, at school, at work, in the community, in a church, in all our relationships with one another, have this same mindset as Christ Jesus. And what he talks about is he emptying himself, not worrying about being God anymore, becoming a servant of everyone. And actually the Greek word, you know, we know is slave, doulos. He became a slave. They make it look sound nice here, like a servant. He became a slave to everybody. And by just not only by taking the nature of man, but also, you know, serving and dying on that cross. And because of his self-sacrifice, then God gave him a name that is above every name. So every time that we put everybody else or some other people in front of us or before us, God will exalt us. If we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. But the nature of the human being is we like to exalt ourselves. And my needs are more important than your needs, and my desires are more important than your desires. So I love this passage. Again, this is, for me, this is the secret. When you know, Paul uses that word here in Philippians chapter 4 to having a successful marriage, a successful church. It's just putting other people before ourselves. So I just love it. It is hard to do. This is the hardest thing to do in all Christianity, but I just love it. Mm.
Well, you know, well said, Jose. One of the reasons I've so, talking now to the class, one of the reasons I've so enjoyed, I enjoy this moment, but I also, in a class, I enjoyed the discussion, especially with those people that I deeply respect, like Jose and Andrew. And even after various sermons, people will walk up to me and they'll say thank you. And incredibly, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, Jose and I were talking about a sermon, and I just deeply appreciate your thoughts on the text. You're a good Bible student, well-read, and I deeply appreciate your presence and your words. Likewise, of course, with my brother Andrew. Yeah, in fact, that Philippians 2, 5 through 11, If you read through Philippians, it's considered to be, by scholars who read it, it's, you know, they say, well, this is the book of joy, and this is one of Paul's most personal letters. And then invariably, they'll take those verses and they'll say, except for verses 5 through 11, and then they'll talk about how this is really deep theology. It stands out in the entire epistle. Paul can be saying, you know, thank you for sending Epaphroditus. Thank you for the gift you've given me while I'm in prison. And then, but this single text is called the emptying text, where Jesus emptied himself and taken the form of a servant, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So anyway, that's great. You know, thank you. Thank you, Goyo. What I want to do now is read a passage of scripture, and then for the rest of this class, I'd like to ask both Andrew and Jose to respond to it, and I'll share my thoughts as well, but I really want to hear from them. So if you have your Bibles, open to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verse 8 down through 13, then I'm going to ask a question. And Andrew, I'll go first to you, partner, and then I'll go to my brother, Jose. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. That's a beautiful text. So Andrew, you could take it anywhere you want to take it with this, but the question is sort of along the line, Paul's in a Roman prison, he's in chains, he's in not the best of circumstances for sure, and yet he says, I'm content. He uses his time wisely to not only convert the guards who are with him and share the gospel of Christ, but to write 4 epistles. So the question that I have for you, brother, is as you look at this, is there any insight that you can share of how we can be more content in times like this?
Sure. You know, the version that you read in verse 9, you said, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, your version said, do. You do those things. The version I'm looking at here, and I think this is the NLT, it says, excuse me, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And you know, looking again at Paul and his circumstance and where he finds himself, all these things, focusing on what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and excellent and commendable, thinking about those things, I feel like throughout his life up to this point, I mean, post road to Damascus in his conversion, he's practiced this. He didn't just arrive at it. It's been something that throughout his time now as a Christ follower, he's been practicing these things. Now, that's not to say that, you know, he didn't do it very well at the beginning. Who knows? But I think as Christians, one of the reasons he has peace and one of the reasons he can, you know, in verse 11, I've learned in whatever situation to be content. I think it's because he's practiced just like when you and I play ping pong with, you know, I mean, every once in a while when I'm gone 3 or 4 months and I come back, you beat me in a game. And it's because, it's because you've been practicing and I haven't had the practice. But inevitably, after I play for 2 or 3 weeks, then, you know, I start winning again pretty regularly, pretty much all the time. And so, you know, we have to have.
Why don't we just cancel the study and let's just adjourn to the basement. But actually, you're right. But I do win on occasion.
Yes. And but it is important for us to practice. And that's why. That's why my sons, the younger guys who have been coming to ping pong are starting to beat all of us, because they have become dedicated and they're practicing. And I mean, Gabe literally is practicing ping pong, maybe at home right now by himself on the back deck, hitting against the other table. I mean, the practice and the preparation for that moment of crisis that, you know, we find ourselves in now, you know, that's what's laying the foundation for us.
And that's a good analogy.
To be content.
Yeah, practice. In fact, I thought about that word do as well when I read it. I don't know any other way to grow in spirit. You know, we talk about physical growth, and our oldest son, my oldest son, who lives in Alaska, is a trainer for CrossFit. He and Erica also own a gym on the side, a small business. They call it a box. And so whenever he visits or I visit him, he'll look at me and he'll say, "Dad, you know, you're not heavy, but you need to build muscle." He said, "Let me show you how to do it." I say, "Son, I know how to do it. I mean, you know, it doesn't take rocket science to know if I want to build this bicep, I have to resist it. I have to lift weight." In fact, the apostle, I was going to say Paul, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but in Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14, it's a great text where it talks about practicing to be able to take the meat of the word, not just the milk of the word. So we all understand that without doing, without living a Christian life, our spirit, if we, you know, we look at our bodies in the mirror and we can see if we've been working out or not working out. But what the church needs to realize, and really the world, is that the Bible is the mirror for the soul. And if you really want to find out what your spiritual body looks like, and I'm afraid many of us might be a little bit emaciated. We might need to put on some muscle. It only comes through practice. So you're absolutely right. That's of all the words in that text, you kind of highlighted practice. Jose, what do you think?
Well, I think, I guess Philippians 4:13 is one of the most, you know, common verses for people to quote. You know, "I can do all things through him who gives me the strength." And so we use it for anything that happens. You know, I know in Christ I can do well in my test. I know through Christ I'm going to be able to, whatever is in your mind, and people use it in that context. But when you look at the letter, you know, he's talking about having a lot of needs, being hungry, not having enough money to support himself. And so he learned how to handle the situation of not having money or having a lot of money. So he went from one extreme to another. And as Andrew said, it gave him practice to learn how to handle life in times of abundance and how to handle life in when you are lacking, you know, whatever it is. Of course, we can apply this to, you know, he's talking about money, he's talking about support, physical support, but and, you know, and we can use that verse. I mean, it's okay if we understand the context, but, you know, something that is really it caught my eye in verse 10. In verse 10, he says, "I rejoice greatly." So this is the first time where rejoice has another modifier. When he says, "I rejoice in a big, big way." Why? Why? Because he got money? No. He says, "In the Lord," number one. And then he said, "That at last you renew your concern for me." So what gave actually Paul in this context joy, it wasn't the actual gift. It was the fact that they thought about him, and they and also the fact that they finally had an opportunity to serve him in his needs. And he said, because you didn't have an opportunity before. And now you have this opportunity to show your love for me, your care for me. And what I'm going with this is this. Maybe this is a time, as you guys mentioned, I think was Whit mentioned last week, where we can finally take care of someone, where we can finally visit someone, where we can finally give him a call and say, I never called you before, but I want to tell you, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying about you. And that the joy that God, that Paul got was not for the money he received. It was just the fact that the church, the Philippians, remember him. You know what I'm saying? He was in their minds. The same way we read at the beginning, the Philippians were always in his prayer. He was always praying for them. But it was a relationship with, he prayed for them, but they also took care of his needs. And I think that's very important to understand that in these times of being separated from one another, maybe calling someone is going to make their day. You know, when you say, hey, Andrew, call, I mean, this is the first time in 17 years that I talked to Andrew on the phone. We always saw each other. This past week, we had a conversation. I actually sent last week a email to a text to all the male leaders in the Hispanic group, and I told them, I'm going to give you a job for this week. You need to call some people. Just take two, three, or four people, give them a call, and tell them that you care. Tell them that you're praying about them. And I think that's very meaningful. In these times of separation, that can be very meaningful, that we never talked to this guy, and now he just called me, and we had a conversation on Facebook or whatever you want to use. But I think just hearing somebody's voice is just, it's different. It's a little bit more personal than just sending a text. So that's kind of what I wanted to highlight from that specific.
That's a great point. Great points. It also makes me think, I haven't said this for the last, let's see, Andrew, we've had two or three online services. I've forgotten. I guess the first week we couldn't do anything, and the last two we've been online, correct? I think it's been two.
Yeah.
And I've never said this in the course of the worship or have heard it said, but I've thought it, so I'll just go ahead and share with the class and not the entire congregation, because I know not everyone is hearing this Bible study, but we're going to apparently have to be online for a few more Sundays, I think. I'll leave that up to the shepherds to make that announcement, but I know that we're online this coming Sunday. Which happens to be Palm Sunday for those who kind of follow the church calendar. The following Sunday is Easter. At the close, you know, for those of you who attend the church building, and if those who are part of the Antioch family, know that following the sermon, we invite everyone who wants to come down toward the front to pray with our shepherds, our elders who are kind of down there receiving people in prayer. And since you, Jose, you mentioned the telephone. I've thought every single time, but I've never said it, so I'll say it now. I would recommend, and I'm sure the elders will think this is perfectly fine, but after the sermon portion, you know, or even after the entire service, pick up the telephone if you want to talk to an elder and pray, or talk to anyone. You can call Jose or Andrew or a friend or a brother or sister in Christ. So just spend time in prayer, not just to ask, you know, how are you and hope you're doing well, but actually pray over the telephone. Pray with your shepherds over the phone as well. I really think that this text lends itself to that. And the help that Paul is making reference to, by the way, that Jose alluded to in verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me, is over in chapter 2 and verse 25. They had sent Epaphroditus with things to help Paul. I suspect not just food, maybe clothing, but probably some parchment, some writing materials, maybe a new quill that enabled him to write this epistle to start with. And so I think that's very much a part of it. Are there any other thoughts, brothers, before we kind of bring this to a close?
Yeah, I think I'm good. I'm just
Okay. I'm cognizant of the time, though I haven't put a watch to it, but I think it's been about 20 or 25 minutes or so. So why don't we go ahead and close with prayer. And I want to thank you, class, for joining us, or anyone who is watching this online. God bless you for taking the time to view this. It is our prayer that through this, the Lord will speak to your hearts, and that you'll spend time going back to the book of Philippians and reading it again, and perhaps being able to apply more, practice more of it in your daily walk with Jesus. So I think I'll turn to Goyo there and ask him to close us. I know that you opened us in prayer. I tell you what, since you opened us in prayer, I'll go ahead and I'll close us in prayer, okay? Mm-hmm. We do thank you, Father, for your presence, and we ask you to bless this moment. May our conversation that we've just had have been anointed with your Holy Spirit. All of those who are listening to this broadcast right now, I ask your blessing on them. Keep them healthy and safe, and help them grow in spirit in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.